The world's not going to do it. Are you going to do it? God doesn't ask us to do very much. He said, tell people about him. That's what he said. Tell the world about him, about his word, about his son. That's all he wants us to do. Praise him. Say, thank you, Lord, for the days that I have, this beautiful sunshine, the fall season, the colors in the trees. Those are a gift from God. The rainbow in the sky is a gift from God. I'm sorry that somebody hijacked that rainbow, but let me tell you the truth of the Bible. The rainbow is God's signature to his children that he will never do what he did again with Adam and Eve. That's his signature. They can say what they want, but the Bible says that's God's handwriting in the sky. He's saying, thank you. Song written by a man who needed God and said about, sang songs about it. Thank you. Thank you for this blessed day. We have Linda and we have Bill and Joanne today. So this is my shot at getting them to understand how beautiful this church is and y'all making them feel welcome. I want you to know that Bill and Joanne have been part of a church in Bethlehem for many years, and they are a representative of God. They do the ministry of helps, and they've been a big part of that. They're a blessing wherever they are, and I want them to feel at home today. I want them to know they came a long way, but they're going to get the message. And I want them to know that they're welcome here, and Miss Linda's welcome here. We love you, and I'm so happy and proud that you're with us today. Brother Fred's in the back putting water in the refrigerator. It doesn't happen by accident. All of a sudden, one day, the door opens up, and there's water in that refrigerator. The ministry of helps. Brother Fred brought the water, and he put it in the refrigerator for all of us. That's the ministry of helps. Nobody saw him do it. My eyes saw him, but you know who else saw him do it? Jesus saw him do that. Give God praise this morning. Stay standing, please.
Thank you, Greg. Great job, Greg. Cord, baby. Little tiny cord. We got it. This is our shot.
Thank you, Father. I'm glad God made me the way I am. I can only tell you the truth. Thank you. Hallelujah. My wife. Y'all standing with us? Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. How long, Mark Bush? Forever and ever and ever. The kingdom and the power and the glory belong to us. Us with Jesus forever and ever. Give him praise, everybody. Be seated this morning. Enjoy God. Woohoo! I'm excited. Well, you guys know that I'm always excited. Anybody ever tire hearing me say I'm excited? I hope not, because I can't. I'm excited. Miss Bonnie, I'm excited. This is God's Sunday. Sunday finally came. I talked to Marilyn during the week, and we say, it's Wednesday already? She said, no, it's Friday. She's like, wow. We had a wonderful Bible study. Oh, I'm going to ask you to do something very special. And just between you and God, I saw this thing on TV the other day, and they're selling mineral oil from Elijah. Little oil things, and they call it Elijah's oil, that if you buy it and put it on your body, you're going to get healed. I said, praise you, Lord. I'm asking everybody today, I mentioned it at the Bible study, if you would put $1 extra in your offering today. $1. Everybody, just add $1 and you say, what do you want? It's not the amount of money, but somebody's got to have a testimony. So what God says, when you give, he shall give back. So everybody, and you're a wonderful church of givers. We don't preach on tithing. We don't preach on giving, because this has been a beautiful church for giving. But I'm asking you today, and I'm going to do it too, put $1. $1 extra and come back next Sunday, and please somebody tell me what God did for you. You see, it's not the amount, it's the heart. And you all been doing so well, but God is saying, yeah, you're doing, but I'm asking you today, not for $900, not for $1,000, not for $50, but just put one extra dollar and say, God, this is for you. Maybe my pastor's crazy, maybe he's nuts, but God said he will bless you back. And I'm going to do it today too, because we all need blessings. How many need blessings? So I'm just asking you, and if you don't do it, it's not nothing. Nobody's going to know if you do or not. But I'm excited about doing it and sharing it with you, because there's so many people telling us that we need to plant seeds. So we're going to plant a seed today, all of us together at Second Congregational. And don't be, I think it's exciting to do things for God. I think it's exciting to do something the Bible says to do. I do. I truly believe it. Responsive reading. This is when I read and then when you read. She gave me more to read than you. My pal, Marilyn. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. For bodily exercise profits a little. That's perfect, right? But godliness and profitability, profitable for all things. For godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. All acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Imagine that. Those who hear you. You may never know your words. You may never know the seeds that you plant and how they grew. But the Bible is saying if you plant those seeds, you never know how many lives you save. When you meet Jesus face to face someday, and I know we're all going to, I believe that with all my heart, and you say, what did I ever do for you? He'll say, look at these people that you brought to me. Look at the souls that you saved just by mentioning me to somebody. That's the gift of God, and that's what you're doing today. Give God praise and glory in this beautiful house. Woo-hoo! I got water too. Brought my own water. Spring water. We were talking at the Bible study the other night with some of my friends. We see the things about not supposed to drink spring water. And some of my friends and I spent a lot of time out in the woods. I was talking to Chip, by the way, the other day. I said, how many times when you're out in the woods and you saw that brook and you said, I need some water, and you just knelt down and took a sip of that water? And I said, me. And we all said, yeah. Now they're saying, don't do that. I never got sick. Must have, right, Chuck? Did you ever do that?
Never got sick.
You, I never. How many times did you drink? When you see, well, you won't do it now, though, right? Maybe if you're out in the middle of the woods and you were thirsty, I know I would. Okay, here's the quiz. Bill, we have a quiz on Sunday. I asked three questions, multiple choice. It's okay if you don't know the answers, but raise your hand to one of them. And don't look at anybody, because they don't get them all right either. Thank you, Lord. They're all laughing at me. I like when they laugh. My wife thinks I'm nuts. Anybody agree? Careful, careful. God is watching. You're supposed to take, you're supposed to be nice to God's anointed. Huh? What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called, A, His children, B, the sons of God, or C, heirs together of the grace of life? What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called, A, His children, B, the sons of God, or C, heirs together of the grace of life? Hallelujah. Behold, 1 John 3, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. You got that right, Greg? Greg knocked it out of the park. Why should you not believe every spirit? Why should you not believe every spirit? They can be misleading. They can be evil or false prophets. Why should you not believe every spirit? They can be misleading. Or B, they can be evil. Or C, they could be false prophets. Beloved, 1 John 4, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hallelujah. And Fred got that one right, I think. Thank you, Lord. This is a really interesting one, because I don't know how many have ever read the book of Jude. There's a little tiny book at the end of the Bible called Jude. It's like three pages or two. You can read it in 3 minutes along with the other letters of John. But this is from the book of Jude. Jude says, murmurers and complainers use their words to do what? Murmurers and complainers use their words to enrage others, to flatter others, or to insult others. Jude said murmurers and complainers use their words to do what? Enrage others, and B, to flatter others, or C, to insult others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I think I would know exactly where it was because I put it in here myself. I wrote it myself. Therefore, there are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and their mouths great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. So the answer, God's Jews says, murmurers and complainers use their words to do what? To flatter people, to get their advantage. They say nice things to you, even though they don't mean it. Nobody would ever do that. You would never do that, Bonnie, right? Say something nice to somebody if you didn't. But murmurers and complainers do that to try to get you on their side. Sounds like the world to me. How many got that right? That was a good one. I thought that was a good one. Those, Bill, did you get any right? Yeah, the boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This, hallelujah, Father, let this message be heard today and enjoyed today, and let it feed these people in a way that just give them so much hope and give them joy, and just thank you, Lord, for this day. Hiding anything or trying to stop something from being heard because you don't agree just puts a brighter light on the issue. Understand that if you have something and you whisper it, other people want to hear it. What is he whispering about? So when you try to hide something on things and you try to stop it, you just put a brighter light on the subject. Those who support these things, ideas, right or wrong, whether it's right or wrong, how you put themselves in a place where someday what they agree with can also be censored. That's the thing we all need to understand. The things that are being censored today might be agreeable to you because they go along with your thought. But if you allow that to happen, right or wrong, Deacon Sergio, you understand, right or wrong, you're going to put yourself in a position where someday it's going to be you. I don't like that. Well, too bad. You allowed it before. You see, that's the thing about hiding things and about trying to make things secret. It just, other people say, I want to know about it now. I didn't know anything about it, and now I want to know everything about it because somebody tried to keep it from me. Amen? That happens in the world all the time. But religions are the same. Let me say, sometimes religions are the same. I want people to hear all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? I want people to hear all about Jesus and see the differences in our beliefs as opposed to others. I want it out there. I want everybody to know everything about our God and about this book because I wanted everybody to see the differences. Salvation is of the Bible. Amen? Jesus is what we hold closest. Our race, our journey is to be there with him in a place too wonderful to describe or express. That's our belief. That's our faith. That's the end of this book. That's what we want for each other. Amen? That's why I want that out there. I want the world to hear the difference between what we believe and what other religions believe. I just want them to choose. But if it's out there, then they can hear it. And I want you to be aware that other religions don't teach that. Other religions don't teach that everybody will be there, sinners, and get forgiven of their sins, that we're all welcomed in the house of God. Amen? I want you to understand that. Why we believe what we believe. How bright is your light? Pretty quiet. What happened? Thank you, Lord. How bright is your light? Excuse me, I'll be right back. We don't want everyone to know, see our light. See, I got light seeing, but I don't want everybody to know about it. We keep it hidden for only those we approve are worthy to join us. See, we have God, and we have this little light, but I don't want everybody to know about it because everybody's not welcome. First, you have to prove that you can get in there and that you're good enough and that you could follow our rules. See, so this is my light. Somebody might see, I love Jesus. Oh, I got Jesus, but my light's just, I'm going to keep it right there. Just so nobody, I want to make sure that when you come, that you're the right person for us. Excuse me. It's Mina Woods, too. Here's my light. You like my light? This is my light. We invite others but they must agree to believe as we believe. So I can't let the bright be too light, because I want you to see the light, but in order to come to this light, you have to agree the way we agree. So it's not very bright, because we want to make sure who we have with us. Your light might shine on those who agree with our teachings, not just the Bible alone, but you must commit to our laws. You must commit to how we believe, and then you're welcome to join this light. Is this your light? Not your light? Are you sure? Okay, I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord. That's better, amen? Yeah. This is my light. This is our light. We have many followers. There are many lights, but ours is the brightest. Have you heard that before? This light. The word is too hard for you to understand, they say in this light. So we're going to tell you what to believe and how to believe it. In fact, we have another book that you can read to go along. You can never understand the Bible, Bonnie, so don't try. Don't worry about what God says. We'll tell you what he said. And this is the light. You see the light? We got a lot of people following this light. Hallelujah. Actually, we have people that will guide you. We'll have people. We have a book. We understand times are changing. To see with this light, we understand that the Bible is 2,000 years old, so we got this light because times are changing, and we want you to know that we'll change right along with it. We'll make you all feel welcome. We'll change the word a little bit to make everybody welcome. You must commit to our ministry, however. You can't have this light unless you join our ministry. And if you join our ministry, then this will be your light. Isn't that a great light? Oh, there it is. But you got to join. You got to join. And we'll tell you how to believe. And we'll actually make you feel better with it. Really. And we'll change the rules a little bit. Because this book is 2,000 years old. We got other people preaching about this book now. Adding and subtracting things to make you feel better. The word is going to change. All of a sudden that rock turns into sand that you're standing on. Amen? I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord. I am nothing without this light. This is my light. All are welcome in this house. This is about Jesus and about the Bible. This is the light you should be walking outside with. This is the light you should be walking with. People should be able to see this light like you're doing, turning your eyes. This is the light you're supposed to be. This is the house of God. This is the Bible's house. This is his house, and this is your light. If your light's not like this, then you have to ask yourself, why not? Why is my light like one of the other lights? Everybody's welcome here. But can't you see the difference? God is saying, I am the light. I am your light. Walk in the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I am nothing without this light. My brother used to say, I am nothing without my guitar. He made a joke about that many years ago. Wherever we went, if we went to a restaurant and a waitress came over, he'd look at me and say, you're nothing without your guitar. I'm telling you today, I am nothing without this light. I've been without this light, and I know where I've been, and I know how hard it was. But with this light, all things are possible. This is for us. Jesus is my light. Simply say to you this morning, come home to Jesus. Come home to this light. Be this light. Give him praise this morning. Whatever light you are, let it shine, brothers. You're all laughing with me and understanding, but that's the light. Some people have a place they go, it's so beautiful. Oh, they all like Jesus there, but you can't really get in because they have a gate at the door. So, okay, but you got to get in there, and they got to know who you are and where you've been and how much you're making and the kind of work that you do before they decide whether to let you into God's house. I said, really? That's the little tiny light. Today you need to shine like that last flashlight. You need to be that way. You need to let your light shine. People need to know. They need to feel it. Sometimes you can feel the Spirit. Amen? Amen. That story of Wigglesworth told a long time ago when I read Wigglesworth. And I love it. I know it's just a story. But he said he was on a train and he sat across from somebody on the train. And that person finally had to get up and walk away. The guy said, you convict me of sin. I have to get away from you because your spirit is convicting me of things that I've been doing, and I know I have to turn my. Imagine having that bright of light that when you sit next to somebody, they know you're a child of God and they want to talk to you. They want to hear you something good. How many want to hear something good? The world wants to hear, and you have it. But if you walk around with your flashlight in your pocket, or you just got the little light because you're just talking to your friends, what good is that? This church is so powerful. I said it a couple weeks ago. We are united in spirit. Those people that haven't been here, we miss them. If they ever come back to this church, and I pray they will, they're going to realize the first second they walk in that they made a mistake leaving. Is this the best church? No. Is we the best church ever? No. But this is a church where the word of God is preached, and we're all family. And if you think you can find that everywhere, well, good luck to you. That's all I got to say. But shine that light. Shine that light. John. Thank you. I had to do it. He's funny. Isn't he funny? You think we have to deal with things? You think, how many think it's really bad now, worse now than the days of old when you read? When people think it's bad. Do you know what John, the Apostle John, oh, by the way, anybody know what the word apostle means? It simply means early Christian teacher, a missionary, building churches. He was a pioneer for God. That's simply what an apostle means. We gave him that name. Jesus didn't give him that name. Amen? But that's what we call these people who built the churches. John was an apostle of God. He lived with God. He loved Jesus. That's all he preached about. But these things that he had to face, 60, 70 years after Jesus' death, John is still alive. He's the last one. How many know that John was the last of the original 12? He was the last one. And he built these churches. And you think, oh, it must have been easy for him because there was no problem. It was terrible problems. He faced Gnostics and Docetism. Anybody ever heard that word Docetism? Docetism, D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. And Gnostics, Gnosticism. Anybody hear agnosticism? But he's building these churches, and he's building it about who, church? Jesus. And he's got to deal with these people. And 70 years after Jesus, he starts with these people. And Docetism is that Jesus did not appear on earth in the flesh. This is what they teach. And they're going into his churches and they're teaching that. And Gnostics reject the idea of God becoming incarnate, of becoming man. And dying on and rising bodily. They don't believe that he rose bodily. They believe it was inspirational and against true wisdom. They believe that whoever entered Jesus at his baptism left him before he was dead on the cross. Let me say that again. These are people that John had to deal with. He's building these churches, getting people involved with God, and somebody else comes in behind him and said, that wasn't real. Jesus wasn't real. He wasn't even a real man. He was just spiritual. Jesus was not really here in the flesh. He was a phenomenon. He only seemed to be human. He was an illusion. You think it was bad now? You think things are bad now? Look at what John had to face. And he wrote these letters. How many know that he wrote letters to the church? He wrote in the back of your Bible, you're going to see 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. It'll take you 10 minutes a day maybe to read them all. Maybe 10 minutes. But you understand, this is some of the last writings in the Bible. Some of the last writing. He wrote Revelation according to the Bible after he wrote these three letters. But this is the last that you hear from John. The book of Revelation is God, John describing what God has shown us. That's the Revelation. But these letters are the last words we hear from the Apostle John, however you want to call him, Saint John, whatever you want to give him a name. And to God, he was a good, it was a servant. And God loved him, the one whom Jesus loved. Imagine that. Jesus was not really here in the flesh. He was a phenomena. He only seemed to be human. He was an illusionist. And the word doketai, D-O-K-E-T-A-I, was Greek. It means illusionist. That's where the word comes from, doketis. And Gnosticism, those are just, it means knowledge. And these people had knowledge, but they didn't have the knowledge of the Lord, amen? And how many ever heard of the Antichrist? John speaks of the Antichrist. You know who the Antichrist is? It's a spirit, Bonnie. There's many Antichrists out there right now. The Bible says someday there'll be one. But right now, the spirit of the Antichrist, just like the spirit of God, is in the world. How many believe that? How many know that to be true? And let me tell you, the Antichrist, simply, it's very simple. Those who speak against God in the Bible. Those are antichrists, amen? They're speaking, it's not a big word, it's not hard to understand, but antichrists were in the day of John. He was dealing with people who spoke against God and the Bible. And this is the funny thing about these people today who are doing it. Anybody here, I hear people all the time. People are saying this is hate speech. If you haven't heard that, you need to listen more, because they say the Bible's hate speech. And they're antichrist. They're speaking against God. That's what it means. Amen? They're speaking against the Bible. Even some religious speak against the Bible. Some religious make up their own book. They say this is a good book, but don't bother reading it. We'll tell you what's in it, what you need to know. But we'll tell you how to live according to our rules. We changed a few things. But you'll enjoy the changes. Those are antichrists, amen? Those who do this, and understand, there's no, those who do this, and you know they're out there, you all know, I'm not lying, I'm not making things up. There's people who don't like God, who don't want any God, who talk against God. Those are preachers. What's a preacher? Somebody who talks about what they believe, amen? What's a preacher? Talking about their religion. That's their religion. That's their faith. That's what they believe. If that's what they believe, then it's their belief that they're preaching. They're telling the world that there's no God. That's what they're doing. They become what they hate in people, Bonnie. They become preachers. They become the person that they're looking at the church. They hate me because I'm preaching about God, but you're preaching that there's no God. So that's your religion. Oh, it's not a religion. I said, yes, it is. It's your belief. That's the Antichrist. And denominations. Anybody hear the word denominations? Praise the Lord. Sometimes I think it's like equal with political parties. Truly, I really think. Because people get so indoctrinated in their denomination that if you ask them what they are, they tell you that before they tell you they're a Christian. Which is all well and good. I get it. But understand that that's not what God had. There's no religion in the Bible. There's no denomination in the Bible. There's Jesus. The Old Testament was about the coming of Jesus. And the New Testament is about Jesus. But people get so caught up in their denomination that that's more important than the Word of God. I've heard people tell me that have gone to church all their life. They're wonderful Christians. Say, have you read the Bible? Oh, I never read the Bible. You don't read the Bible. No, I don't read the Bible. I go to church and they read the Bible to me. I said, but that's your letter from God. God wrote that to you. Yeah, but it's too hard to understand. So who told you that? Who told you that God is love and love is God? That hard to understand? But this is what John was facing. And listen, this is 15 words. How many words? 15 words. Jesus uses 15 words to tell you what I'm telling you in the most amazing way. It's John answered, and John, this is John. I'm going to read from John. This is John the Beloved. He answers and says to Jesus, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he did not follow with us. Wow. He tells Jesus, we saw people doing miracles in your name. We saw people casting out evil spirits. We saw people healing other people in your name. But we didn't know who they were. So we forbade them. We told them to stop. You all hear that all the time. My religion is the only true religion. I hope that you just say, my God is the only true God. That's what we should be saying. I don't want God to be on my side. I want to be on God's side. That's what it, and listen to these 15 words that Jesus said. I mean, just read, listen. He said, do not forbid him. What did he say? Do not what? Forbid him. For he who is not against us is on our side. Amen. We got to tear down these walls. We got to stop the nonsense. We're all kind of getting in between John and muddy in the waters. Amen. And John calls himself the elder. When you read about it, we're going to read it here in a second. He calls himself the elder. What does that mean? He's the last of the apostles. Of course he's the elder. James is gone. Peter's gone. Luke is gone. Matthew's gone. Mark is gone. There's only who left? John. And he's got one more chance, like I was talking about Bill and Joanne. He's got one more chance to tell us today. If you read his word, we got one. He said, I'm going to leave this in writing. This is my last chance to tell you. Hallelujah. So let's find out what he says to us. Are you all ready? This is John talking to the church. John, 1 John 1, 1 to 3, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. He's talking about Jesus. He's telling us right from, this is from the beginning. Jesus that we heard, and Jesus that we've seen with our own eyes, and Jesus that we looked upon, and our hands have touched him. Our hands have held on to him. Hold his hand. concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested for us. The word manifested simply means to make openly known, apparent, without controversy. He said God was here openly without controversy. There was no controversy when Jesus was here. John was saying, I saw him, I ate with him, I touched him, I held onto his hand, I loved him, I seen him. Hallelujah. Manifest that we should have seen and heard, we declare to you. He's saying this is his last chance, church. He's saying, I'm declaring to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He wrote this little letter for you. This was some of the last things he wrote. And he's telling you, I'm writing it for you, Second Congregational. Thank you, Lord. What beautiful words. Thank you, Father. He said, little children, listen to this. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is 70 years after Jesus. So don't be surprised if there's people preaching against the Bible now. This is 70 years after Jesus. He's saying the Antichrist have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now listen to this. This is very interesting, brothers and sisters. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of. He's saying that they came to my church. John is saying they heard me preach, they heard my teaching, and they sat around like they were part of us. But when they left, they were not of us because they didn't believe anything that they heard. So they were not of us. They made like they were us, but they left not being of us. You all see that all the time. And I'm not talking about some people who leave the church and go to another church. I'm not talking about, please don't judge anybody else. God moves people and God is doing things and we love everybody. He's talking about preachers. He's talking about he's talking about people who sit there and hear the word of God and then leave and talk against the word of God. Amen. That's what he's saying. You understand it. They went out from us. See, they were here, but they were not of us. They didn't believe. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. He's saying if they had been one of our brothers and sisters, then they would have stayed, or they would have believed, and they would have carried it on. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Hallelujah. Three little letters. The last letters that John ever wrote to us. Thank you, Lord. This is powerful. 5:16, he said, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. When you read that, understand that the first he will ask is you and me, amen? He said, if you see somebody sinning which does not lead to death, he will ask. That's you and me will ask. And then the next word it says, and he will give him life. The word he is capital. So who does that mean? God. So don't believe me, believe the Bible. He said if you pray for somebody that's committing a sin which does not lead to death and you ask God to forgive them, help them, lead them, heal them, he said he will give life for those who commit sin not leading to death. And the only sin that leads to death is total rejection. That's all it is. They call it the unpardonable sin. The Bible doesn't. Somebody wrote that in the Bible. It just means that you don't give God credit for anything. There's no God. You don't believe God. Nothing is created by God. Nothing is there. That's just called the unpardonable sin because you'll never ask for forgiveness. If you believe that in your heart, that there's no God and no need for God, you will never be received because you will never ask. So that's all that means. That's the sin leading to death. And he said, I don't even talk about that. But he's saying, imagine that, people, that's called intercessory prayer. If you see anybody that's got an alcohol problem, got a drug problem, you pray for them. You ask God to heal them. And you give it to God. See, it's not you're not going to do it. You can't do the healing. But you got to trust God with that. Who's telling us that? John is telling us that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. He's saying this in 2 John. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. I just read that to you. Who are they? Gnosticism, Docetism. They're teaching that he didn't come in the flesh. He was an illusion. And John is saying many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. One antichrist, not the antichrist, but an antichrist. Of course it is. Look to yourselves that we do not lose things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Hallelujah. How many want a full reward? I want a full reward. Hallelujah. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. If you can't say that Jesus came from the Son and He healed and He walked among us and He died for our sins, you don't have God. That's the whole central part of it. And He's saying whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, not the Bible, not the Word, but God, Jesus, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And He says this, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That's pretty powerful. You got to understand, God's a pretty powerful God. Amen? He's saying that. Don't accept that. Don't bring it in. If somebody says, I don't believe that, leave it alone. Give it to God, but get out of the way. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And finally, he says in 3 John 1, the third little book, Beloved, he calls us beloved. They call him the elder. In John 2, 2 John, he calls himself the elder because he's the last one. He's the last one in this Bible. The Bible is almost done. He's written the last word. You got Jude after this in Revelation. But this is the last words you hear from John, from his own heart. He said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. How many things? And be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth as a pastor. And this being a pastor, just as a pastor, as a teacher, John is saying, I have no greater joy than to see his people walking in the truth. He uses two words a lot in all his writings. It's truth and the light. When you read John, he's always talking about the truth and the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this is what he says, that you may prosper. You mean I can prosper? Absolutely. God wants you to prosper because he wants you to have a good testimony. Why would he want you to stay poor and people say you love God but you're poor? Why would that bring anybody to God? He doesn't want you to have the love of money. He doesn't want you searching for money. But he said, I will make your way prosper. I will show good things and you will have good success. And your good success, Bill, will bring other people to God. How do you, in this time of trouble, how do you have good success? Because I'm following God. Greg said something to me this morning. So absolutely right on the money. He said, thank God for this church. And I say every day, I say it to him 10, 20 times a day, thank God for this church, because the things I are dealing in the world right now seem impossible, but with God all things are possible. And thank God for this church who make things possible for me and for everybody. So he said it right. Let me close right here, because we have another Bible study. This will be a part of it. This is so exciting. John raised men to continue the work he started. How many know that? He was a preacher. He was a pastor, Bonnie. He raised other men to continue the work. The Bible doesn't stop here. The book stops here, but the work doesn't stop here. He started to further the gospel, and they called his disciples, and it's our work today. We are his disciples. Now, if you read a little bit deeper, you understand that there's three people, and I'll get into this at the Bible study. There's a man named Polycarp. Gene, have you ever heard of Polycarp? Have you ever heard of Papias? Have you heard Ignatius? David, have you heard of these people? Polycarp. These were disciples of John. These people that I'm speaking of were disciples of John who sat just like you're sitting when John was preaching. They're called the apostolic fathers. These people continue the writings. Now remember the book, the apocryphal books that I talked about from the Old Testament. Some people say there's other books in the Bible. How many know that? If you see a different Bible, there's other books. Those are apocryphal. Those are prophets from the Old Testament. But the people I'm talking about now are John's disciples who continue to write. A man like Polycarp, who was a student of John, and he continued to write about what John, and he wrote letters. They weren't inspired by God. They were inspired by the apostles. That's why they're called the apostolic fathers. But they continued the word for another century and another century after that. The word of God, these people. And that's our job today. This Bible is supposed to make us preachers and go out there and tell the world. That's what we're called to do. Called the word. He raised men to continue to work. That's what every church should do. Raise men to continue to work. That's our job. But it's a glorious job because there's so much good in it. We're helping people. You're helping people. God, come home to Jesus. Give him praise, church. We'll get into some of their writings because they're not inspired by God, but their writings. Polycarp wrote a letter to the Philippians, the same, and it sounded just like Paul's letter to the Philippians. But he only wrote what John taught him. That's, see, he taught him from the Bible. John taught him from his heart. There was no Bible like this one that day. We put this together with the letters that, and these letters from John are some of the last things that were ever entered in the Bible. They had these letters for a long time, but they didn't want to put them in. And somebody one day decided, let's add these letters. And his last words to us. John's last words to us, stay in that light, that flashlight I had, that light, be that light. Be that light for God and let Him bless you. Let Him bless you beyond your means because he can do that. Give Him praise again, church. I just love this.
This little light of mine.
Anything that separates us from the fellowship of God is a sin. Anything that we do, the words we use, our attitudes, and so many things that we do just separates us from the fellowship. And we don't want to do that. We want to be close to God. The Bible says we all fall short daily. I say that all the time because it's true. And we want to be in that fellowship. We want to be in that light. And God is such a gentle God that we ask and He just kind of directs us back and pushes us back in the way. And that's how God loves us. That's our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. He said, do this in remembrance of me. God, if you did something that great for somebody, I think you'd want them to do more than that for you. How many times have you told your children, you know what I did for you when you were a kid? I bought your first car. I bought this for you. I gave you that. How many times have I ever said that? God never says that to us. He just says, do this in remembrance of me for what He did on that cross that day. Jesus, the body of Christ, separated Himself from His Father for us. Do this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pastor, I want to make sure I'm worthy. Okay? I want to make sure it's okay to take this. Okay? Pray with me. Lord, forgive me for anything, my iniquities of this week. Maybe this day, maybe this morning. Forgive me for anything that I did, Lord, to separate me from your fellowship, from your love, from your light, Lord. Anywhere that I drifted to the left or right, Lord. Help me and heal me, Lord. Raise me up so that I can receive this blessing from you. For the remission of my sins, Father, that I may receive this to be healed, Lord, that I know that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing formed against me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, Lord. That's why I want to be in that light. For your love, I don't want to be out of that light. For your grace and your mercy, Lord, so forgive us as we receive Jesus this morning in Jesus' name. People say, I don't know if God forgives me. Don't call God a liar. I don't know if I'm good enough to be forgiven. Don't call God a liar.